All right, great to be with you. This promises to be an excellent game today. Johnny Cueto goes to the hill for the Giants, and Tyler Anderson, who a very intense guy, would love nothing better than to beat his old team, as Dave said, the San Francisco Giants, where he was last year. We have a very special listener today, 93 years young, Lorraine Cole, in the Valley, listening to Giants baseball. And Lorraine, happy Saturday to you, and we're very glad that that you're listening. All right, let us bring in Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, always love talking ball with him. Mark, how are you?
I'm good. 93 years old. That means that she might have seen someone like Carl Hubblepitch.
Or Rube Marquard. But,
yes.
So, someone like that. But she probably saw Bill Terry. That yep. would be one. That would be one. All right. Now, the Giants. Let's get to the big news of baseball first, and that is Albert Pujols to the Dodgers. What do you make of it, and what do you think?
So I'm looking at the Dodgers statistical page right now on Baseball Reference, and they weren't hitting left-handed pitching this year. They ranked 21st in the majors in OPS against lefties. Batting average was similar. Pujols, despite his flaws that led to him getting released, did have 3 home runs against left-handed pitching in 27 at-bats this year. So I think that the circumstances by which you'll see him are situations where there's a lefty starting, and then he's a bat off the bench at the end of the game if they wish to deploy him in such a way to bring up a baseball legend late in the game. The thing, my first thought that was, though, when I heard this, was Harmon Killebrew the Royal. That was my first thought.
Mm-hmm.
These guys at the end of their careers winding up with these teams that you're like, how could they wind up on this team? That doesn't make any sense. But in the Dodgers' case, they have a need here. Muncy doesn't hit left-handed pitching, so they need someone at first base that can.
Well, that's what I thought. I went backwards in my book for about the last 6 to 8 starts against left-handed pitching. And even Luis Quintana of the Angels, shut him down. So they need some right-handed help, and it all makes sense. So thanks for looking that up. The Giants yesterday, what a game. 17 strikeouts for them yesterday against the Pirates. There were 2 walks in the game, but, boy, Mark, you just watch games like that, and the excitement is to see whether someone else will strike out.
Yeah, that's a little it's kind of the way we are right now. I think you just kind of have to live with it. So you had those 2 walks at the very end, and they spoiled what was this great statistic, like tidbit fun fact thing, that if the Giants didn't walk those 2 guys, could have happened. They never had in the modern history of the team, they've never had 17 strikeouts and no walks in a game. They did have 16 strikeouts once, and the pitchers that did it, you would never have guessed it. 1996 against the Marlins, the game went 15 innings. Mark Leiter, Rod Beck, Rich DeLucia, Mark Dewey, and Jeff Juden. That's your combination that holds the record for the Giants, most strikeouts, no walks in a game.
Well, that's a good one. Jeff Juden, I haven't heard that name in a while.
Exactly.
But, yeah, that's a good one. But when you look at the Pirates don't hit a lot. I understand that. But the Giants are not giving themselves a lot of room for error by not scoring more runs, and the runs are really been scarce for them when you look at the big picture.
They're completely reliant on the home run these days. Half their runs this season basically have come via the home run. That's well above the major league average. Usually it's like low 40s-ish, but more and more teams now are starting to have these seasons of 50%. And 50% is tough because if you're not hitting, your pitchers basically have to be perfect. And Gausman was really good in the 9th inning, and they got 2 dink hits off of him. And that leads to them tying the game. And extra innings, all sorts of crazy stuff can happen in extra innings these days. Yastrzemski nearly makes a catch, and you wind up losing the game. And that's just they need games where they can score 5 and 6 that aren't in Coors Field, where they can beat some teams. I mean, it's a silly complaint. I know they're a game and a half in front of Padres at this point, but it's one that I think could bite them later in the season.
Well, the starting pitching is so good that if you give them their four or five runs or whatever it may be, the starting pitching can usually bring you home in that. So we'll see. It's interesting when we say dink hits, because in today's game, a dink hit may be a well-placed hit. Look at Frazier.
Yes.
Ball's out of the strike zone, and he takes it to left field. Just flipped it out there. Look at Newman.
There aren't a lot of guys that can do that. And those guys did it. And I wish that there were more of those kind of guys in baseball now that look for hits like that. But there just aren't at this point.
All right. Today, though, Tyler Anderson, we've talked for 3-4 hours about Tyler Anderson and what he did last year, what he's done this year. He's been awesome this year. As Bill points out, low hit games, low run games. Well, who was Tyler Anderson this year? How did all this happen?
So this is a fairly simple one as far as the statistics go. Last season, with that cutter that he threw, opponents hit about 360 against it. This season, with the cutter, opponents are hitting 160 against it, and he's throwing it for strikes three-quarters of the time. So it's basically an automatic strike anytime he throws it, and he gets good results if the ball's hit. So it's that pitch that's literally it for him this season, the difference from this year to last year.
Now, I remember him as a changeup pitcher, and I know last year, now that you say those numbers, they kept banging on him, throw more changeups, and he didn't want to do that all the time because he did like the cutter. Is he throwing less cutters this year, even though he's getting better results and more changeups? Or what kind of a guy are we looking at now?
We're in stall mode here because you just asked me a question where I'm typing in the information to try and get it as we talk here. But,
all right.
No, we can keep talking here. Give me like 30
Go
seconds
ahead.
And I'll have it for
you. I know. I like to throw you the changeup every once in a while. Well, your Mets today.
I got it.
Oh, you got it already.
Got it.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So more cutters, fewer changeups. A decent, like maybe 6 or 8 more cutters a game, 6 or 8 fewer changeups per game.
Okay, but he's getting better results. All right, that is Tyler Anderson today. All right, the Mets got beat again by Tampa Bay today. Paul White and I talked a little bit about about the Mets. The East is starting to, teams are starting to win some games. The Mets 7 of 10, the Phillies 7 of 10. Things turning here in the East at all?
Well, the Mets were looking pretty good going into Tampa Bay, and in theory they should have won these last two games. But the bullpen gave it up yesterday, and the bullpen really gave it up today. I think they're starting to show that they can be the most formidable team in the division. I think the rest of the teams, I know you mentioned the Phillies, but the rest of the teams are still kind of treading in quicksand a little bit. Like, you haven't had that, the Braves haven't had that big run where you thought that they were going to be pretty good, or the Nationals haven't had that big run where you thought that they were pretty good. I'm still skeptical on the Phillies, and I know they have Harper and Realmuto, and they have a lot of good players. Segura's having a very good year in a year where nobody's hitting. They have Wheeler. I don't feel like they have the firepower to compete with everybody else, but so far they are. It's kind of like the Giants. They just hang in there. Maybe they'll be there at the end.
Mm. Now, a player had his debut this last couple of days, and he's a former Met top pick, Jared Kelnick. And
yes,
he had 3 extra base hits last night, the youngest player to do it since Ricky Henderson. You know his background. There's a lot of excitement around this player. How good is he?
Yeah, it's crazy like how people are treating him like he's going to be the next Mike Trout before he even plays a game. He was a Met first-round pick and has basically been one of the most hyped prospects in baseball since he was drafted in 2018. He's from Wisconsin, which I think is kind of interesting because that's not necessarily a place where you figure that a lot of firepower is going to come from. He's a left-handed hitter, 6'1", 190 pounds. He looked pretty strong yesterday. He looks like someone who is going to be able to hit the ball, hit it hard. He can do a little bit of everything in the field, running. He's someone that I think is being expected to be like a 330-100 player, which I think is a very strong expectation to place on a kid. And the hype's all there because he was traded for Edwin Diaz and Robinson Cano, and Met fans like to get all worked up over that.
Mm. Well, he had a great day yesterday, and they are very excited about him. Plus, there was another pitcher who came up yesterday, too, that they're excited about. So for Seattle, they're just trying to look ahead and get some young players up. What about the Cardinals? They lost last night to San Diego. Flaherty is 7-0. Wainwright pitches today for the Cardinals against Paddock. How good are the Cardinals right now? Is there anybody in the Central who's really playing with them?
Hey, they were my preseason division winner, and I felt pretty strongly about them, too. In fact, I think in my preseason picks, I said that they would beat the Mets in the playoffs. So I'm bullish on St. Louis. One reason that I'm bullish is certainly the Arenado acquisition. The other is they play really good defense. Like, they are the most probably sound defensive team all the way around the diamond, arguably in the sport. And I think even though a lot of balls are hit out of the park, I think the defense does still matter. And they have Flaherty, who is looking like the ace that I think people have expected him to be. You would figure, too, that that's a team that would make a trade in July to pick up maybe another starting pitcher, like a starting pitcher that could put them over the top and allow them to compete in the playoff series. I'm bullish on the Cardinals, and I will be bullish on them until the end of the season.
Well, my prediction on May 15th, and I know we got miles and miles and miles to go, is the three playoff teams are coming out of the West. Giants,
oh,
Padres, and the Dodgers. So, what can
that's
I tell
be
you?
Tough. Yeah, but, hey, you never know.
No, that's what I said. Well, great to have you on today, and good information about Tyler Anderson, about why the Dodgers took Pujols, too. So Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark, thank you so much.
You got it.
All right. Have a good afternoon. Hey, fans, don't forget Tuesday night, May 25th, 5:30, is the Bashoff online event, and you can check it out at bashoff.org. Will Clark, Dave Stewart, former mayor Art Agnos, a great baseball fan, talk about the 89 World Series and Earthquake. It's only $25 to get the link, and the event will benefit the Boys and Girls Clubs of San Francisco and Oakland. And Murph, Brian Murphy from KMBR will be the moderator. So check it out, bashoff.org. All right, Adam Copeland coming up next with Bill and Kerry. You'll next hear from me tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Yes, it's 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. So Bill and Kerry coming up. Bill will do the talk back, and we'll be back with you right after this.